Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim Daf Mem Tes. We will begin on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, as we learned from the beginning of the Perek and throughout, the Mishnah teaches us that the Shechita of Kachay Kachim is Betzafen, in the north part of the Azara. We've learned that the Pasuk that teaches us this halacha is actually a Pasuk by the Karban Oilah. But then the Torah says, "B'makom shetishchad as ha'oila tishchad as ha'chatos," that the chatos should be slaughtered in the same place as the oila ought to be slaughtered. And then, as we learned extensively in our previous year, not only does the Torah teach us that once regarding the karban chatos, the Torah teaches us twice regarding the chatos, and therefore the rule that we've learned Baruch Hashem many times of shana lava kosov la'akev, that by kachin for rule to be absolutely essential, the rule needs to be stated twice, is in place regarding the Karban Chatos. But, asked the Gemara, at this point, we've only found one Pasuk, the basic Pasuk, that teaches us, the Torah teaches us, that the Shachris Oila, that the Oila should be slaughtered in the Tzofen. But if we just said that the rule is that the Torah only, that for a rule to be absolutely essential, it needs to be stated twice. So now we have an issue. The Torah only says it once by the Karban Oila. And therefore ask the Gemara, Ashkechan Shechita Ba'Oila L'Mitzvah. There's a pasuk that teaches us that the Karban Oila should be slaughtered in the Tzofen. Kabbalah Nami L'Mitzvah. And actually the Rishonim ask, where is the pasuk of Kabbalah by an Oila? And many Rishonim take the position that there is no explicit pasuk. But we already established that Shechita and Kabbalah travel together. So once we know that Shechita, the Torah says, has to be B'tzofen, it's obvious that the Kabbalah is going to have to be B'tzofen. But that is only stated once. However, Ashkechan, Shechita v'Kabbalah Akev Menolon, where will we have a second mention of this rule that will make it absolutely essential? Suggest the Gemara, Amar of Adabar Hava v'Tamei Rav Bar Shila. Kavachaymer. We'll learn it through the following Kavachaymer. Malachatas. Shekem mechaperis al chayva krisis. Machatas. If we make the following Kavachaymer. If a karmachatas. That the entire reason a karmachatas needs to be betzofen is because the Torah says that the b'makom sheyishchad es ha'oila tishchad es ha'chatas. So the rule of the chatas emanates from the oila. And by chatas, we proved in our previous shiur that tzofen ma'akevis, oila, then the karba oila, shebo chatas mikoicha, that the chatas is only a derivative of the karba oila, certainly ein adin shema'akevis. And actually, I saw a very interesting approach in the achroinim, how to understand the Gemara. It actually, this approach speaks to a fundamental question. We've said it already a number of times just in today's shiur. The shana lava kosov la'akev. For a rule to be essential, the Torah has to say that rule twice. What does that mean? When the Torah says the rule twice, does that mean that the second time the Torah mentions the rule, that makes it essential? Or the fact that the Torah says it two times, an indication that the first time the Torah said it, it's essential? And the Gemara now, say these achroinim, is suggesting that the fact that the Torah says it once by a karban oila, and now the Torah, and we learn chatos from oila, and by chatos it says it twice, that should be enough of a proof that it's as if it says it, that the first time the Torah said it by the karban oila, it's absolutely essential. Says the Gemara, true, the chatos is a derivative of the oila. But on the other hand, the chatos has a chumrah that the oila doesn't have. Mal chatos, shekem chaperis, achai v'krisis. And maybe therefore, the rule of tzofen is so essential. However, the karban oila, which is not mechaper or chayv krisis, even though the Torah indeed say that it should be betzofen, it's not essential. Amar Ravina, so we're back to where we started. Maybe, where do we know that the oila has to be betzofen? Amar Ravina hakash le'l Rav Adar Bar Hava. What Rav Adar Bar Hava meant to say is like this. Do we ever find in the halacha that a derivative is less than the ikar? So if the chatos is learned from the oila, it must be that the oil also has to be betzofen. And as we explain, as the Mefarshim explain, at the have mean the maskon of the Gemara. The have mean of the Gemara was that we should perhaps look at the karbonos itself. Then the Gemara says, this is not the issue on the table. The issue on the table is which is the ikar and which is the tofel. And we can't deny that the oil is the ikar. And given that the oil is the ikar, therefore the halach is that we learn chatos from oil. Amalei, and therefore if chatos has to be betzofen, oil will have to be betzofen. Ask the Gemara, is this a hard and fast rule that the ikar is always more than the tofel? Amalei mazut b'reder of Mari l'ravina v'loi, v'rei ma'iser. The halach we know of ma'iser sheni is that the fruit, the ma'aser sheni produce should be taken to Yerushalayim and be eaten. If somebody doesn't want to take the ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim, the halach is you could be paid it on money and take the money and buy with that money produce from Yerushalayim. Very ma'aser, the hu nifta. The halach is, let's say you took this money that we just spoke about to Yerushalayim and bought. And let's say you took the ma'aser itself to Yerushalayim, and it becomes tameh. The halach is that even though normally ma'aser once it arrives in Yerushalayim cannot be redeemed, if the ma'aser became tameh, it can be redeemed. However, the halach is that lekuach b'ma'aser ma'akas ma'aser, the money that I just spoke about that you used to redeem ma'aser on, and you now take that money to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim that you buy with that money produce. And that produce becomes tamei eina nifta. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, halakuach bekesef ma'aser. If money that was received in redeeming ma'aser, and now you buy produce with that money, and that produce becomes tamei shenitma yifta. Tanakama holds, even if it's Yerushalayim, it can be nifta. Rabbi Yehuda, Ami Yakov, has to be buried. So here we have that we're treating the derivative stricter than we are treating the beginning, than we're treating than the actual ma'isa. And we're saying that a shloye tuffel chomer min ikr answers the Gemara. Although the Chazanish says, before we go further, that this is only a rule in Yerushalayim. Everybody will agree that a lekuach the kes of ma'isa outside of Yerushalayim can be redeemed. But it doesn't change the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara, Hosam Loyalume Kedushas Elimitzis Pijoinam. And this is the way that Achroinim explained this Gemara's Kashya and Teretz. The Gemara and the Havmin assumed that the more Maisa Sheni it is, the harder it should be to be poided. So if the Halacha asked the Gemara is, the Maisa Sheni, Mamish, could be redeemed if it becomes Tameh, certainly, lekuach bekesa ma'aser sheni should be redeemable in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the back and forth here. Rather, the way to understand the back and forth here is, when you apida something, you're creating a new kedusha. So if you start with something strong, ma'aser sheni, given that it has a high level of kedusha, it's stronger. That's the way I always understood it. It's stronger. And therefore it could travel. What does it mean it could travel? It could travel and onto the money. But lekuach b'maisa sheni is a weaker level of kedusha, and therefore it doesn't have the strength in it to travel to be nifta. That's this Gemara. Interesting that this Gemara obviously is relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Because the halach of maisa sheni applies nowadays also. So the Paiskim discussed, the Michas Chinuch already discusses, that let's say you have Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim. You have produce that grows in Yerushalayim, Bizman Hazeh. Could it be Nifta or not? So Michas Chinuch says that even though the halach is that we're not allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni, Bizman Hazeh, there's no Mizdeach, the halach is you can't eat Ma'aser Sheni, that in itself, and everybody essentially agrees with the Michas Chinuch, is not a good enough reason that it could be Nifta. And therefore, the Ratvaz and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Michas Shlomo says we should pass like that. Says what you should do is exactly what Al Gemara suggests. If you have produce make sure that it becomes tamei. And once it becomes tamei, you can be paid it. And that's what we do. We paid it on a pruta chamura, and they throw out that pruta chamura to follow our Gemara. That our Gemara says that once it becomes tamei, even in Yerushalayim, my shesheni produce could be nifta. So what you have to do is be machshit l'kabel tumah, make it wet, then just touch it, because we're all tamei mesim, and then you can be paid it. It's interesting, the Kafta Aferach disagrees. He says that that wouldn't work as manazeh. But again, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and I think this is the minig, to do that. Up to the point that I saw a very interesting shaila. There was somebody, a mashgiach, who was appointed to separate Maaseh Sheni, and he forgot to do what we just said. He forgot to make the Maaseh Sheni wet in Tomei before he was poided, in order that it should be able to be poided, and he designated it as Maaseh Sheni. And once it's Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, if it's not Tomei, you can't be poided. And the question was brought to Reb Shmuel Salant, what to do? Reb Shmuel Salant said, and again, this question is probably only in the old city of Yerushalayim, because it's not clear that the entire, what we call Yerushalayim, would be included, but certainly the old city would be included. And Reb Shmuel Salant said a very interesting psak. He said, the shlichus of the shlich is not a shlichus. Why? Because we have a rule, many times said in Shas, regarding shlichus. L'takuni shedaticha v'loy la'afsi. I only appointed you to be my shliach to do me positive, not negative. The shliach, so to speak, messed up. That he didn't make the Maaseh Sheni, they didn't make the produce tamei before he designated it as Maaseh Sheni. That invalidates his entire shlichus, and therefore the halacha is that it's absolutely irrelevant, and now do it over properly. Continues the Gemara. Vrei Tmura. So the Gemara again asks on this concept that the Gemara has established, that Shloye Tofel Chomer Min Iker, the Loch of Tamura. The Gemara asks the question, Dila Kotshim L'chayel Balmum. If somebody takes a animal that's a Balmum and designated as Kadosh, the Loch is that Kedusha is not a full-fledged Kedusha. What does that mean? That animal could be redeemed, and once it's redeemed, you could do anything you want with it. We're asked, just to understand what I'm saying, if you had an animal that was not a Balmum, and you were magdish it, and then it became a balmum, so vada you could be paid it, but even after you paid it, you have to treat it with a level of respect. So rei tmura, kachim l'chayel balmum kavua, if you designate an animal that's a balmum kavua, it won't become hegdish. Vilu ilu chayel tmura, vilu chayel, if you make an animal a tmura, we spoke about the halach of tmura many times, that if you have an animal that's hegdish, and you want to transfer the kedusha onto the next animal, the halach is that the Torah says v'hayuhu smarasa yeh kodesh. The animal that's tamura becomes kodesh to the degree that even if it's a balmum. Now, try ask the Gemara. Isn't the tamura a derivative of the original? So if the original can't be hegdish when it's a balmum, how could the derivative become hegdish when it's a balmum? Answers the Gemara: tamura mekachim ka'asya, the kachim ka'kalasim. So again, to explain the Gemara's question, the Gemara's answer simply is very simple. When you're making something hegdish, what did you start with? You start with an animal that's chulin. If you want to start with an animal that's chulin and make it hegdish, it's a big jump. You can only do it if it's not a balmum. But here you're starting with an animal that's already hegdish. To take hegdish and transfer it further is much easier. And as the Achronim explained, because tamur is not to be viewed as a new hegdish, it's only an extension of an original hegdish. And to create a new hegdish is much more difficult than to extend an existing hegdish. And therefore, to create a new hegdish on something that's a balmum is impossible. But to extend a hegdish onto something which is a balmum is possible. The Gemara in the Havamina obviously didn't understand Tamur that way. The Gemara in the Havamina understood that Tamur is a new hegdish and therefore had this question. Ask the Gemara another question. Harei Pesach, du einatan smicha, the halacha is, that a Karban Pesach, when it's brought, you don't have to do smicha. There's no requirement to bring the sachem. There's no requirement to do tenufas chaz v'shaik. We've spoken about this halacha many times in Amos Sechta. That let's say somebody designated an animal as a Karban Pesach. And then that animal that you designated as a Karban Pesach gets lost. So you take another animal. And then when the original animal is found and it's ready after a Pesach, what do you do with that animal? It's brought as a Karban Shlomim. Vele Maisa Dada, Tant smicha and the sachem, but tenufas chaz v'shaik. So here we again ask the Gemara have a situation that we're treating the tafel, the derivative, more strictly than we treat the ikker. Answers the Gemara, Pesach b'shayim ma'aseh shana shlamu. So the Mefarshim, the Stipler, and the Kelis Yaakov, quotes his son, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, to explain the Gemara's teretz this way. He says, we're not to understand that a Maisa Pesach, which is a Shlom, is a derivative of a Pesach. Rather, the way what the Gemara is answering is a very bechiddish. When you go on your Magdish to Karban Pesach, Mitzvah Shem B'Karbi Yameinu, it's not to be understood that you were Magdish to be Karban Pesach, and now, for whatever reason, it's not going to be brought. So Karban Pesach, Chazal tell us, use it as a Shlom. No. What it means is that off front, when you were Magdish the animal, what you said is as follows. Or Chazal said, that's what you said. If I'm going to bring it as a Karban Pesach, great. If I'm not going to bring it as a Karban Pesach, it should be used as a Shlomim. So it was Nigdash as a Shlomim. Since it was Nigdash as a Shlomim, so it's treated like a Shlomim with all the rules of a Shlomim. Based on this teretz, the Mitzvah Eisen says that perhaps we have an answer to a question that we discussed previously. We asked the question, and we discussed the Sugya Maisa Pesach, so the Maisa Pesach is a Shlomim. So this Karban Shlomim that emanated from being a Pesach, what would be the rules if you use it as a Shlomim? Does it have the rules of a Shlomim? Nechel Shnei Yomim V'layla Echad? Or does it have the rule of a Pesach that's only Nechel Yomim V'layla? Does it have the rule of the Karban Pesach that could only be eaten slee, roasted? Or does it have the rule of Shlomim you could prepare it in any way? Based on the way we're understanding the Gemara, says the Mitzvah Eisen, that it's not that it's a Pesach that turned into a Shlomim, but rather from the beginning it was a Shlomim. We have a Raya that it's indeed to be treated like a full-fledged Karban Shlomim, Nechel Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad, and doesn't need sleep. Again, as I said, when we learned the sugya previously, it's Machlokes Rishonim, and the other Shitas could be explained as well. V'Bai Seima, we're back to where we started with the Gemara Shia today, the Shia today, that the Gemara is asking, how do we know that a Karban Oila, how do we know that a Karban Oila has to be brought, how do we know that a Karban Oila has to be brought le'akiv b'tzofin? Amakra, the Pasuk says, Oila, the Pasuk uses the word Oila, which comes to teach us the Mekayim et Hay. It has to be brought, the Pasuk, to read the words, v'shamach es yodei aroish achatas v'shokras achatas v'mokam ha'oila, that extra hay teaches us that it has to be b'tzofin le'akiv. Ask the Gemara, Oshem and all on the Bayit Tzofen. Now we start speaking about the Karban Oshem. That the Karban Oshem as well has to be brought with Tzofen. Ask the Gemara Oshem and all on the Bayit Tzofen. The Ksiv answers the Gemara B'makam sheyishkatu es ha'ola, yishkatu es ha'oshem. So the Torah clearly teaches us that the Oshem should be brought in the same place as the Oila, with Tzofen. Says the Gemara, Ashkechan Shechita. So that's a pasuk that teaches us the Shechita has to be with Tzofen. Kabbalah Manola. How do we know that so too is the halacha regarding the Kabbalah? Vestama Yizrik. Vestama Yizrik is connected, explained the Rishonim, to the first part of the Pasuk, since the Shechit is B'tzofen, so to the Domai. Kibol Domai Nam B'tzofen, as we explained in our previous year, Dalach by Kabbalah, is not only must the Keli, in which the Dam spills into be B'tzofen, but the person who's doing the Kabbalah, the Kohen who's doing the Kabbalah, must be B'tzofen. Kibol Domai Nam B'tzofen, Mekabel Atzman V'nolam, where do we know that Alocha? Answers the Gemara, The S comes to teach us that that Kayin must be B'tzofen. Ask the Gemara, fine, Ashkechan L'mitzvah. The Torah teaches us L'mitzvah the first time, but we learned from the beginning of today's shir, you need to be mentioned it twice, that it should be L'akif. L'akif M'nolon. Answers the Gemara, Krach R'niksiv. V'shakra Sakeves. The Torah, we discussed this previously, the Torah teaches us the din of an Oshem Mitzayra. The Torah says, "V'shachar sakeves v'mokam ashiyishkan etzachatas v'sa'ola v'mekoyim ha'kodesh ki kachatas ha'oshem hu l'koyin kodesh kedoshim hu." That pasuk teaches us that it should be slaughtered in the same place, but soften. It's the second mention. Since it's the second time it's mentioned, it's la'akif. Ask the Gemara, "V'ha la'achidasa?" Is that what we learn from that pasuk? Ask the Gemara, "Ha'abayle l'chetanya?" Isn't that pasuk needed for what we learned in the Braisa? The Braisa, where this is the famous Braisa Rabbi Shmuel, that speaks about the Shloish Esher Midas Shatara the Dreshes Ben. It's worthwhile saying that the Sfarim HaGadoshim say that the Shloish Esher Midas that we've been working and we will be working in the coming shiurim so much with Shatar and the Drashas Behem, correspond to the Shlosh Asher Midah Shel Rachman. And they say, as much as one discusses the Shlosh Asher Midah Shatar and the Drashas Behem, that's how much the person causes that we should have the Shlosh Asher Midah Shel Rachman apply to us. So that Hashem should help that we should all taka have Rachman v'chasodim. So one of the Shlosh Asher Midahs is Davi Shaya B'Klal, something that was in a group, V'yotz Lidim Davi Chadash. It was something that was in a group, and we'll see the example is indeed Dasham Mitzayra, that, and it's treated differently. And again, as Taisus explains, it, when we say it's taken out of the group, is that it has a rule which is contradictory to all the rules that everything else in that group has. You can't take it back to the original group. Until the Torah says so. Ketzad. What is the example? The example is the Hashem Tzor, as we said. The Torah says, V'shachar esakeves b'mokam sheyishkar esachatas v'sa'oilam. B'mokam ha'kadosh, ki kechatas ha'ashem hu. The Torah says that the Hashem Tzor should be treated like all other carbon asham, carbon chatas, carbon oil, that they should be brought b'tzofen. She'en tam aloymer. The pasuk at the end says, kechatas ha'ashem. Why does the Torah have to say it? The Torah already said at the beginning of the pasuk that the ashram should be brought like the chatas. Why does the Torah teach us kechatas ha'ashram? Explains the Gemara. B'fish yosa atzam etzayra lida medav ha'chadish. Hashem etzayra has a new rule which is unique and different and new only by Hashem etzayra. What is the rule? What? That it b'boyin yad b'boyin regal v'ozun yamonis. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. Whereas by all Kabbonis, where is the Zerika done? On the Mizbeach. And that's the only place the blood is applied. By Karban Hashem Metzayra, as we've discussed, the blood is also applied on the Metzayra's right toe, right thumb, right ear. So since it has this new rule, others explain that the new rule is that the Kabbalah, as we discussed the other day, is done in two parts. Part of it in the Kaelin, part of it in the palm of the Kayin. It's all the same. So that since it has that rule, new rule, Yochel, lo yehei tar matan domen ve'emrim legabim mizbeach, we would think that it shouldn't require the halach of doing zrikas dam and doing haktaro on the mizbeach, tamalim kechatas ha'osham. That's why the Torah has to repeat kechatas ha'osham. Ma chatos tuna matan domen ve'emrim legabim mizbeach, just like the chatos requires matan zrik on the mizbeach and haktaro on the mizbeach, so the Torah is teaching us a very important rule, that the Hashem Mitzayra, since it's different, so we would think it wouldn't require these rules, that's what the Torah has to say, that it does. Why specifically these rules? Explain the Rishonim, because the Torah says, Kechatas Hashem Hu L'Kayim. So back to where we started, how can we say that this pasuk is the pasuk that we're going to say, the Torah is teaching us, that halacha that all ashamas must be betzofen, and this is the second mention. No! We need this pasuk just by Hashem Metzayra. Answers the Gemara, imke nichta b'hai, v'loi nichta b'hai. If that were the case, then the Torah should have only mentioned it by Hashem Metzayra, and then doesn't need to mention it by all our other ashamas. Why does the Torah mention it by both? To teach us that this rule is la'akif. Answers the Gemara, if we're going to say that when the Torah uses this type of learning, it's not to exclude anything else, but rather the way to understand it is that you can't learn the Hashem Metzayra from other Hashamas. Why can't you learn the Hashem Metzayra from other Hashamas? Because other Hashamas don't have the special, unique din of Boyin Yad and Boyin Rego. Hashem Metzayra does. But all other Hashamas can be learned from the Hashem Metzayra. So then, the Gemara is very understandable. Let's explain why it's so understandable. The Torah teaches us this rule of tzofen by Hashem Metzayra. The Torah teaches us this rule. The Torah teaches us this rule by all Hashamas, so we haven't mentioned twice. And that's how we'll know that all Hashamas must be essential, that has to be tzofen. Before we go further, the Rishonim ask, if we're learning all Hashamas from Hashem Metzayra, then all Hashamas should have the rule that you have to have Boyin Yad and Boyin Regel. Why not? So Taisa says, for that much, if we're using it for Yotzalid of Dava Chadosh, it has to teach us a Dava Chadosh. What is a Dava Chadosh? Bayin Yan and Bayin Regel. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a Dava Chadosh. The Ramban says, there is no Shaila that all other Rishamis should require Bayin Yan and Bayin Regel. He says a very simple explanation why. He says, all other Rishamis are here for Kapara. The Gemara said the Svara. Hashem Etzar is here lahachshir, to make the person able to eat kachim, enter the Beis HaMikdash. So only a carbon that's here lahachshir requires Bayin Yan, Bayin Regel, not a regular Asham. Furthermore, how can we learn, if so, ask the Rishonim? So how can we learn, if we just said, the Rishonim continued to ask, that all other Rishonim are so very different than the Shammat Tzairah, that Shammat Tzairah is a Machshir, and all other Rishonim are Mechaper, so how is the Gemara going to say we should learn the din of Tzofen one from the other? So one explanation I saw in the Achroinim, is since there's a Pasuk, we work with this Pasuk, that says, Zois Tzairah Asham, all Asham are treated the same way. Another Teretz that I saw, is that there's a Kav HaChomer, going back to something we learned in the previous year. If a regular carbon Asham has to be worth Kesef Shkolim, at least 2 silver pieces, Asham Atzar, we said in our previous year, could be worth anything. So if this inexpensive carbon Asham has to be B'tzofen, certainly the expensive carbon Asham that has to be at least 2 Kesef has to be B'tzofen. So, says the Gemara, according to this approach, everything is great. The Torah mentions the din of tzofen by regular Asham. The Torah mentions the din of Asha of tzofen by Sham Tzaira. We have it mentioned twice. Ella asked the Gemara, Isvirlan, if we have the opinion that when we have a Dovish Yotz Menaklal Lot Lidim Dovah Chodesh, we end up with a situation, the Loi Hu Gam Mechlola, the Loi Kalola Gam Minei, that they're totally separate and one is not to be learned from the other, Itzrich. Why do we have to mention it? How will we say that the Torah is mentioning by Karban Asham Tzofen twice? Answers the Gemara, Kivan the Hadrei Hadrei. The Torah, by mentioning it the second time, what the Torah is trying to teach us by using these words, Kechatas Asham, is that in all halachas, it should be the same as all other Ashamas. And since all other Ashamas but Tzofen, we can learn from here that the Torah, by saying Kichatas Hashem, is actually using these extra words for this purpose. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Mazot Breder of Mari Leravina, Ema, indeed the Torah adds the word Kichatas Hashem. But ask the Gemara, you know what the purpose of the adding those words are? Ki Ahadri Kro, Legav Matan Dom Ve'emrim. It's only regarding the Halacha of Matan Dom Ve'emrim, which require Kahuna, as the Torah said. Kichatas Asham La Koyein. Maybe it's only teaching us that whatever has to do by be done by a Koyein, now we have a second time that it's being mentioned. Avol Shchita, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, Shchita Ksher Bazar, Deloy Bai Kahana, Deloy Bai Tzofen. Answers the Gemara, if that's all the Torah is trying to teach us, that the halacha, that the places where we need a Koyein, that's where we treat the Ashmet Tzairah the same as a regular Asham, that it would be enough, in came name of Kroki Kechatasu, my Kechatas Asham, Kishar Ashamas Yiyah. To treat it completely like all Ashamas, not only regarding the rules that require a Kayin, Haktaris Amrim, and Matan Damim, but even for rules that you don't have to have a Kayin, which means the Shechita, that the Shechita has to be done with Tzofen. Continues the Gemara. Obvious question. When we're discussing the Shammat Tzairah, and we read the Pasuk, and we will reread it now. Let's read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'shachar ha-sakevis b'mokam ha-shayishchar ha-sachatas, v'sa-oil b'mokam ha-koydish, ki-kachatas ha-oshim hu-la-koyin koydish kadoshim hu. So the Torah, obvious question. When the Torah is teaching us that the chatas has to be b'tzofen, the oshim, sorry, has to be b'tzofen, so because so is the rule by a chatas, and so is the rule by an oshim. If the Torah wants to make that point, why does it have to say both Chatas and Oila? Could have said it. Either compare it to the Chatas or compare it to the Oila. Why do we have to mention both? Amr Lama Lekshuya asked the Gemara, why does the Pasuk have to compare the Hashem Atzar both to Chatas and Lama Lekshuya to Oila? Why do we have to compare it both to an Oila? Answers Ravina, Itzrich. There's a very important purpose. Because E actual Chatas for Lai actual Oila, if the Torah was only makshe to a chatas and not to oila, have a meaning we would say the following. Chatas mehech lamda. Where do we know that a karma chatas has to be brought betzofen? As we've been discussing for two shurim already. Ma'ayla. It's only because it's a hekish, we read the pasuk, b'makom sheyishchar as a oila tishchar as a chatas, there's a hekish between chatas and oila. And we have a rule by kachim, that we're going to be spending the coming shurim about, that dova halom behekish, chayzim lam behekish. If we were going to learn the osher from chatos, we would have a problem of a double hekish. And a double hekish, we know, is not acceptable by kachim. What kachim means, it certainly means kabbonis. Does it mean that the kabayis? Does it mean the big day kahuna? We'll see. Fine. So now I understand why the Torah couldn't have mentioned chatos. Because we'd have a problem of a double hekish. But why doesn't the Torah just mention oila? V'nikshala oila v'loy nikshala chatos. Oila is not a hekish. Oila, the Torah says explicitly, has to be betzofen. And say that the Shabbat Torah has to be like the oila, betzofen. Answers the Gemara. If the Torah would have written oila, we would never learn this lesson, says Ravina, of the inacceptability of a double hekish. We'd say the Torah mentioned oila, as the Gemara says in a moment, because oila is a better source, because oila is the main, is the core source for this halacha. Have a mina, dav alam behekish, chayzim alam behekish. If that's the case, so why didn't the Torah choose chatas? V'chitayim en nikshe kush l'chatas, if a double hekish is acceptable, why didn't the Torah choose to mention chatas? Nichalei, because the Torah preferred the makash le'likar. The Torah would rather compare the oshem to the oila, which is the main place where we learn the halacha of tzofen, v'loy nakash le'tofel. And that mentioned chatas, which is only a derivative of the oila, as we said at the beginning of the shiur. Therefore, says Ravina, the Torah goes out of its way. Lochi actual chatas for actual oila. The Torah goes out of its way to mention both chatas and oila. The lemeimer to teach us this lesson: the dover halama behekish, she'ena chayzim alam behekish. A double hekish is unacceptable. This is the source for that famous rule. Rav Amar, Rava disagrees with Ravina, and as the Karen Ayer explains, the reason Rava disagrees with Ravina because Rava holds that pasuk is needed to teach us a different rule. What's the rule that Rava says that pasuk is need for? The halacha is that there were special tabois, we'll discuss them later in the Masechta, where they would do the shechita, but soften hazara. Rava says that pasuk is teaching us that you could use the rings, but if you did the shechita, but soften, even if you didn't use the tabois, it's an acceptable shechita. So, if that pasuk is needed for something else, where we know the din of double hekish? Rava mahaka, diksiv kashiyura mishar zevach hashlamim. L'may Helchasa. This is a pasuk, we discussed this whole sugya. This is a pasuk by the Parakoy Mashiach. The pasuk says that just like by the Karban Shlomim, the Amorim are the Yuseris which they cloyus, so too by the Parakoy Mashiach. Ask them, L'may Helchasa, why did the Torah say this rule? Ilu Yuseris HaKov Vishtei Kloyus to teach us that they should be burnt as the Amorim, we don't need an extra pasuk. Begufiksiv. There's a pasuk that says explicitly that the Yuseris HaKovid in the Shtei Kloyus or the Parakoy and Shiach should be burnt. The answer is, Mishum Digmuri, the Torah wants to teach us the Aloch of Yuseris HaKovid in the Shtei Kloyus, the Parahalim Dovish at Sibyl, the Sira Vedskachovin. As we discussed earlier in our Masechta, the Aloch is by Sira Vedskachovin. The Torah doesn't mention that the Yuseris HaKovid in the Shtei Kloyus are burnt. How do we know it? Because the Torah, as we learned, Chatosom, compares the halacha of Sira Avodah Zarah to Parahelm Dovish at Sibur. The Gufei, there is no explicit pasuk by Parahelm Dovish at Sibur that the Yisaras HaKavod Nishtei Kloyus should be burnt. The Gufei likes it. How do we know that the Yisaras HaKavod Nishtei Kloyus of this Parahelm Dovish at Sibur should be burnt? We Parakoy Mashiach Udagama. We learn it because the Torah compares the Parahelm Dovish at Sibur to the Parakoy Mashiach. That's why the Torah had to add, write this extra pasuk of kashiyurim. The heavy command, the kasuv begufei. Let's explain what we just said. To teach us, says the Gemara, that the yeseres are covered in the shtei kloyus of the parahalm davish atzibra are burnt, I don't need any pasuk by the parahalm davish atzibra. Why? Because all the rules of Parakoy Mashiach apply by the Parahelm Dovish at Sibur. Why do I need it by Parahelm Dovish at Sibur? Because I want to learn Sira Avodah Zarah from Pahalim Dovash Tzibur. Says the Gemara, that's why the Torah has this extra pasuk of Kashiyurim by Par Koy Mashiach. And we know many times the Gemara says, we don't need a pasuk. We don't need this pasuk by Par Koy Mashiach, because the Torah says it to us already explicitly that the Yisrael HaKov Neshtei Kloy should be burnt. What should we do? We should apply it to Parham Dovash at Sibur. So now it's as if it says it explicitly by Parham Dovash at Sibur. Now we can learn Tzor Avoy Dezar for Parham Dovash at Sibur. Because if we were just to rely on the Hekish that exists between Par Koy Mashiach to Parham Dovash at Sibur, and then from Parham Dovash at Sibur to Par Koy Mashiach, we would have a situation of a double Hekish. And the Gemara makes the point. Amalei Papla Rova, V'lichtavei Begufei. Why, if we're using the pasuk of Kashiyurim, which is an extra pasuk, an extra sentence by Parakai Mashiach, and we're putting it to Param Dovash at Sibur, wouldn't it be smarter that the Torah should have written it directly by Param Dovash at Sibur? V'nichta begufei, v'loy nakish, instead of you relying on a hekish, answers the Gemara, that's the point. Ikos begufei v'loy akish, if the Torah had written explicitly that the Param Dovash at Sibur, the Yisaris are covered, the Shtei Kloyos are burnt. And then we know that the Torah compares Seir of a desire to Palam Dovish at Sibur. We would never learn the lesson of a double Hekish. Have Amina, and we would then maybe indeed believe, the Dava Alam Behekish, Chayza Malam Behekish. To avoid that mistake, the Torah specifically wrote it by Parham, by Parakai Mashiach, to teach us, you know, why the Torah had the extra Pasik, to make this Limud that a double Hekish by Hekish is not acceptable. So why don't we just learn a straight Hekish, mention it by Param Dovash at Sibur, and then learn a straight Sira Avodah Zarah from it. Nichle, the Kasev Gufi, Mida Akish Lei Kushe, Lahachi Kasev Akshe, the Torah does want to mention it, but mention it in this interesting way, Lememur, to teach us the lesson, that Dovah Alam Behekish, Enachai Zalam Alam Behekish. Hekish V'Gzeir Shava Kavachoy Mesimur. What happens now is as follows. The next couple of shiurim. We've established that a double hekish is unacceptable. But now the Gemara wants to talk about different situations of a double. Will they fall into this category of a double hekish or not? It says, a double hekish is certainly not acceptable, as we just learned. E midrava e midravina. Either Rava or Ravina's source that we just finished learning. However, ask the Gemara, Dova Alam Behekish, Ma Shalom Gzer Shava. What would be the halacha if we start, the first limit is a Hekish, and then it's followed by Gzer Shava? Is that acceptable or not? And as I saw, there's a beautiful Prisha. The Prisha says that we see that there are different limudim, that the Hekish is something that's a weak type of limud. And since the Hekish is a weak type of limud, maybe it should be treated less seriously, and that's why a double hekish is unacceptable. Where do we see it? Says the Prisha. The halacha is that the Torah is makish kibir av aim to kibir amokim. But the halacha is that av shmachal kvaydoi and kvaydoi machal. Father has a right to be machal in his covet. Covet hamut chacham that we learn from a ribui. Es Hashem alakachatira rav shmachal kvaydoi and kvaydoi machal. So we see that a hekish is a weaker type of limud, says the Prisha, than other type of limudim. And therefore, the Gemara is asking that maybe a double hekish is unacceptable, but a hekish followed by Gzeir Shava will be fine. Tashma. Amnasman Avtilis Oimer. Menayel Apricha Vivgadim Shi Tahira. The halacha is that if somebody has a negat saras on his clothing, and the kohen quarantines it for a week, he comes back v'nikeya. It got weaker. So halacha is that part should be cut out and put a patch on it. What happens if it grows? You should quarantine it for a second week. If it continues to grow, then you have to burn the beged. What about the halacha if the entire beged becomes full of tzaras? Says the Gemara. How do we know if the entire beged is afflicted by tzaras, that it's tar? Answers, says the Braisa. The Torah speaks about tzaras on clothing. The Torah speaks about it by a person. Malahalon, just like by an Adam, the halacha is parach b'kulei tar, af kan parach b'kulei tar. Ask the Gemara, the Hasmanolan, And how do we know by a person that if he becomes completely afflicted with tzaraas, he's going to be tar? The ksiv miroish veragli. Viskish roish leregel. Ma lahalan kula hafak lovin. If you have a nega lovin, if it's kula hafak lovin, park be kula tar, afkan kula hafak belovin tar. So we see that a hekish followed by gzeir shava is acceptable. To which Rabbi Yochanan says, that's not a raya. Am Rabbi Yochanan b'kol ha'tar kula, indeed the halach is lemeidim lamedim lamed. A hekish, a double hekish, and certainly a hekish followed by gzeir shava is acceptable. Chutz min akotshim, shein dam lamedim lamed. So what is your raya from tzaras to our gemara, which is talking about kotshim? Didn't came, so rather says the gemara, lo yoyim et tzfoyne b'oshem. The Torah should never have said the requirement for Osham that should be with Sofen. The taste of Gzeir Shava, the Kotcha Kotcha Mechatis. Why does the Torah have to say explicitly, as we've been learning in our Shir, that the Osham has to be with Sofen? Lav Lememra. To teach us the Dova Halama Behekish, Ein Achayzim Alam, Gzeir Shava. Ask the Gemara, V'dima, Mishum Dik Lamifrach. You know why that Gzeir Shava, that isn't acceptable? Because the Gzeir Shava is not a good Gzeir Shava. Because we could have asked that the Gzer Shava is Mal Chata Sheink Mekaperis. So you can't make Gzer Shava between Chata Osham to other Kachim, because other Kachim are Chatas are Mechaper. Osham is not Mechaper. She can't Mekaperis Achai Vekrisis. So tomorrow, the Kachim Yisrael Gzer Gziv. There's an extra Kachim. And since there's an extra Kachim, a Gzer Shava that's completely open, you can't ask questions on. So there is no problem of the Gzer Shava. So we would have a Hekish and a Gzer Shava, yet the Torah doesn't rely on it. From here we see that a Hekish followed by Gzer Shava, by Kachim, is unacceptable. Before we go, before we end the Shir, the Gemara taught us a very important lesson. That if somebody has Tzaras, if it's on part of his body and it grows, he's Tameh. But if it's his whole body, then he's Tahor. Why? So I saw three different Pshat. One Pshat is, that why does the Torah make a person a Metzora? Because we want everybody to separate themselves from this person. He doesn't act appropriately. So if the person only has spots on his body, people don't understand on their own to separate. Once the person is completely Metzora, everybody understands to separate, and therefore we don't have to make him into Metzora. One pshat. Another pshat is, this is human nature. If a person has some spots on his body, Rachman al-Tzlan, he'll answer it away, I didn't do anything that bad. But once a person is completely Metzora, then the person knows that he's in real trouble. And we don't have, the Torah doesn't have to make him a Metzora, he got the message himself. Third pshat. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kisocha l'ofen afshenu, dofka l'oritz bitneinu. When a person is completely down, that's when we know that the person is fine. And that's pshat over here. When the person is in such a terrible state that he's entirely full of tzaras, that person is already as low as it gets. That's when the Yeshua comes, and we don't have to do anything outside to bring the Yeshua.